Whispering Skullsies are here.
Ooh.
Everybody is feeling fear. The scariest award show they have ever made. It's tonight.
Shriek!
Shriek and Fright.
Shriek and Fright.
Shriek, shriek, shriek.
Fright, fright, fright.
Whispering Skullsies.
Skullsies.
Don't be afraid. You'll probably make it out alive.
You're not in the audience after all. You're listening from home.
There's nothing more terrifying than winning a skull of a man that was alive.
At least we hope he was a man. Who knows down here?
You might have the skull of a genie.
Ooh.
Or a giant. It's not a giant. Obviously, it's about the size of a man's skull.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
Obviously.
But it could be something scary, such as a Jason.
Or a Ringu.
Or a Freddy.
Freddy, yes, Freddy.
Ringu's die too. Welcome to the Whispering Skullsies. This is the season one finale of Scary Basement, where we are giving out awards. These awards that we're holding in our hands right here, Roxy, they're little Whispering Skull trophies. We are giving these out to our favorite movies, our favorite characters, our favorite everything from all of the horror movies we have watched throughout the first season of Scary Basement. Welcome. How are you doing, Rox?
I'm doing great, and I love how charming these little... Well, I guess they're not little. This is like a full-size skull. These trophies are. They're little googly.
Yeah, these are.
Wait, Google. Am I hearing those real eyes?
Yes. Okay. So I want to be clear. These awards, these statues are actual human skulls stripped of all flesh and blood and viscera. And the eyes were preserved. These are human eyes. They are attached to human skulls that we are going to be giving to our award recipients.
Oh, that one moved.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not going to touch that. Okay, some sorry. Of them are haunted. Okay.
Some are haunted, some are cursed, some are just regular skulls. And we did run out of enough already dead bodies to make awards for. So a couple of them are, I'm going to be honest with you, victims. We had to go kill a couple people to get some extra skulls.
I mean, we do have big kill counts from every movie we've watched, I feel like, on this podcast. So I feel like there's plenty of dead bodies we could harvest in addition to the ones we had to go out and hunt ourselves, or maybe have a Chucky or a Candyman go get for us.
Well, and then something we should remind everybody who's here for the Whispering Skullsies, we are down in the scary basement wherein lurks every scary thing that has ever existed in any scary movie. And therefore, all of the scary movies we watched are real down here. That means everybody who's died has died.
Truly.
In the scary basement. Everybody who has murdered here in the scary basement. And that's what our crowd is made up of. All of the monsters. Roxy, is there anybody you can pick out here in the crowd who you're especially excited to see here at the Whispering Skullsies?
Well, you know, I think I see a shark fin out in the distance, and I think that might be Jaws. There might be that droning of his theme music as he's getting closer. I think we're good for now, but I gotta say, as an amphibian creature... Amphibian? No. What's the right
word
for
that? Are you an amphibian?
He's not an amphibian. He can't go on land, but that's what he is doing. He's broaching into the world of amphibians, but he's a marine creature, so... I gotta give it up for him for making it all the way out here from the ocean. Or the ocean
Absolutely.
Current.
Everyone,
that
let's give it up for Jaws.
The basement.
Give it up for Jaws. We're excited to see him out here. He is, if you notice, that fin is flopping around. He is literally a fish out of water.
Well, if he's in one of these categories, hopefully we'll get to it quick, I guess. But what about you, Mikey?
Absolutely.
Is there anyone of interest you see out there?
You know, I look right here in the front row, and wouldn't you know it, there is the Licker from Resident Evil. He's slurping his little tonguesy out.
Oh,
he's tickling me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he's tickling me.
Wait, Mikey, they don't tickle.
No, that's too far. That's too far.
Yeah.
Not on stage. Not on stage, Licker. Not on stage.
Wait a minute, Mikey. What do you guys do off stage? You know what? I don't want to know. I didn't ask.
ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
Yeah. That's how I like it. A
couple of things to get out up top. This is the season one finale of Scary Basement. We will be taking a little bit of a break after this episode. We will be back for season two on August 29th, 2023.
Hell yeah. I'm excited. Slightly new format.
A couple of new surprises that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
A couple of things we should also say up at the top. If you are looking for more from me and Roxy during this upcoming hiatus, check out our Patreon, Super NPC Radio. You can subscribe at any tier to get the Super NPC podcast. That's where Roxy and I once a month will host a video game show. You can hear episodes of Super NPC hosted by Jeremy Schmidt and Connor McCabe, Tyler Schnupp, Nick Costanza of Video Games, a Comedy Show, Call Me By Your Game, Reactivators. And then at any of the higher tiers, Roxy and I also do a video game horror movie podcast, Press X to Scream. That's still going on. That will still be happening.
Yep, once a month.
As well as tons and tons of content from all of our video game pals, Connor, Jeremy, Nick, and Tyler. And July even. Nobody could forget July.
Can't forget July.
So if you're looking for more from me and Roxy over this break, that's where to head. Super NPC Radio on Patreon. Patreon.com/SuperNPC Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Roxy, are you ready for our first category? Are you ready to give away a Whispering Skullsy?
Ooh, boy, am I. I'm ready. I'm ready. First one ever. All right.
What is our first category?
Let me open up the envelope over here. Okay, our first category is Best Creature.
The nominees are Crawlers from The Descent.
The Thing from The Thing.
Jaws from Jaws.
The Licker from Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City.
I'll tell you right now who my favorite is.
Mm-hmm.
And the mutant bear with the voice of Cass from Annihilation. Who's our winner, Rox?
All right, and the winner is the mutant bear with the voice of Cass from Annihilation.
Very cool.
Here to accept the award is the mutant bear with the voice of Cass from Annihilation. I can't look at it, Mikey.
Ooh, scary. Scary sound, scary creature. Roxy, what is it about the mutant bear with the voice of Cass from Annihilation that was so scary?
Everything about it. It's an undead creature that's been transformed. It's merging with, like, the victim it killed. Both its face, like, exposed skull is turning into a slightly human thing. And it's, like, barking out a human voice from the depths of its monstrous body that sound like their dead friend to use as a lure. It literally uses friendship as a lure.
And that's kind of the thing with the gimmick of Annihilation is that people are assimilating to things in this planet. And so this bear has killed a person. And then to me, what's so scary is that person who was killed by the bear then becomes part of the bear. So, like, if you are killed by a bear, then you're stuck in the mind and body of your killer. And then your voice is coming out of your killer. Like,
and
you
it's like
sort
the moment
like,
she died. Like, it's simulating the moment she died. So she's just forever in this death scream, yelling and, like, in pain. And I think there's even a line in the movie that's like, all she left behind was pain. There it is. It's true. Unfortunately.
I don't like it.
Poor
Roxy,
Cass.
Are you ready for our next category?
Yeah, I'm ready, especially because I want this bear to get off the stage. I'm trying not to look it in any of its eyes.
Okay, here's our stage manager, Freddy Krueger. He's got the hook, and he is, he's pulling the bear off stage. That's good.
I never thought I would be so happy to see Freddy. Thanks, Freddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, if you're not the children of people who burned him, he's actually, like, a swell dude.
Yeah, he doesn't really give a shit about us. We're not interfering with his life. He's not interfering with ours. In fact, he'd probably get some fun out of doing this, I would assume.
Our next category is Best Haunted House. The nominees are
The House They Live in Paranormal Activity.
The House Built on the Indian Burial Ground from Poltergeist.
Rustin Parr's Cabin, The Blair Witch Project.
The Overlook Hotel, The Shining.
Bruce Willis's Apartment in The Sixth Sense.
And the winner is The Overlook Hotel from The Shining. Give it up.
Congratulations.
Here to accept the award on behalf of The Overlook Hotel are the twins from The Shining.
play with us.
All right, I guess that's all they can say.
Yeah.
Come play with us.
Okay, well, that was relatively painless, but there they go.
So the Overlook Hotel is the winner. To me, I think this is clearly the scariest haunted house.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Very terrifying. An entire location. It's so gigantic. Big and sprawling. The house itself, even if it wasn't haunted, it'd be kind of ominous here alone in the winter. What is it about the Overlook Hotel for you that pushes it over the edge?
I think it's the corruption of the people who live there, like in the way it latched onto Jack Torrance's weakness and then twisted and corrupted him into something that could try to kill his family.
Mm.
Whereas, like, we talked about this in the episode, he had to have had those tendencies. He did, like, dislocate his son's shoulder once.
Right.
And was drinking at one point, but then hadn't done it since. So even though he had fucked up, it seemed like he was doing his best to do right by himself and his family. And then this horrible hotel saw that as a chink in his armor and took advantage of it. And oh, yeah. Man.
I guess that's what's kind of scary. It's like the things that happen in the Overlook Hotel are things. It's not so much things attacking you, but it's things you have within you, right?
Yeah.
The house on the Indian burial ground, Rustin Parr's cabin, these are all like houses where there is something scary within. And what's scary about the Overlook is it shows you what's scary within you.
Yeah, as well as, like, the history of the place and stuff. I feel like so many of these other places, it's like things are happening to the people and they get out of it. I guess with Paranormal Activity, Katie, right? Katie gets possessed, but that's like a demon thing, not the house thing.
Right.
So it's kind of like it transforms Jack in a way that I think a lot of these other places, the people who live there might be scared by being in there in one way or another, but they are not changed by it. By the location
and
itself.
To be clear, I think Rustin Parr's cabin from the Blair Witch Project, there might be a possession element there too, but I don't know that we are ever get that confirmed. I don't know
yeah,
that we get that confirmed.
Yeah, it's kind of like up to interpretation. I've just assumed that like the witch inhabits the entirety of the woods, so they just kind
yeah,
of ended up there.
The witch.
But so she can do whatever she wants. She's the Blair Witch and who knows what she can or can't do.
And one thing she can't do, I guess, is find time in her busy schedule to make it out to the Whispering Skullsies. Roxy, you see that empty seat right there?
Oh, yeah, there's a little name tag there.
Mm-hmm. It says The Blair Witch.
Jeez. I can't believe she snubbed us, or maybe she just got lost. Her territory is kind of gigantic. I don't know if she's ever left it before, to be honest.
That's a great point.
But still, she could have sent, like, an RSVP that she couldn't make it, which she didn't do because we had a seat prepared for her. So, rude, mm-hmm. Anyway. No matter how you slice it.
Well, unfortunately, the Blair Witch is on our shit list. Imagine having a grudge with the Blair Witch. Oh. Roxy, what's our next category?
Yeah, our next category is Best Cutie Who Must Never Ever Die in a Horror Movie.
Mm. This is a category for characters who, like, we must protect at all costs. We can't. They can't die. They just can't. It would be
yeah.
too upsetting.
We would not survive if they died in their movie. So,
We
got a lot of cuties on this list.
The nominees are Kim Soo-ahn from Train to Busan.
Sydney, the sister from Malignant.
Tyler, the little kid cadet from Child's Play 3.
The dog from Prey in the movie Prey.
And Sydney from Scream 5, Neve Campbell's character from Scream 5, Sydney, the main character of Scream.
We got two Sydneys. And the winner right. is Sydney, the sister from Malignant.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, guys. Oh, thank you so much for this award. Wow, cutest cutie who can never die? And I do deserve it because I can never die. I am too cute to die. I'm the cutest little cutie pie. You know, when I went skydiving once and oops, I forgot my parachute, but then six other skydivers dove after me. We parachuted down together. It was so fun. And when I go out to eat, restaurants offer me food tasters to make sure my meal's not poisoned. Like I'm an old king. And I can walk into traffic and be fine because the cars know. Yeah, you're gonna hit little old me? No, don't be silly. You're such a silly goose. But in all seriousness, I will never die. I am unto a god. Don't believe me? Well, I will prove it. I hired a sniper. He's up there in the wings, and he is going to shoot me. Yep. Oh, see? There it is. That cute little red dot on my sweater. Uh-oh. Am I about to bite the big one? See? Jason Voorhees jumped in front of the bullet. He wouldn't let me die. Oh, thank you, Jason. Oops, I took your mask. I'm gonna put it on. I'm a goalie. All right. Thank you so much for the award. Bye.
Yeah, what were you gonna say about Sydney?
I am surprised that Sydney won. Not that she is not a charming character and a cutie who I do not want to die, because let me be clear, I do not want any of these characters to die. But she beat a dog. Beating the cuteness of a dog? That's a pretty big win, I gotta say. Sorry, I believe, is the dog from Prey. He's a cutie and he's capable.
Is his name Sorry?
Yeah.
He's apologizing?
Like S-A-R-I.
Okay. Listen, here's why I think Sydney has to be the winner. Because in Malignant, which is a movie about our main character has an ingrown twin. Mm-hmm. they have a twin growing out of the back of their head. We see a lot of like mental manipulations, right? Our main character and the killer share the same body and the same brain even. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of horrific mental imagery that one character can project into the other character's mind.
Yeah, and the finale in particular has a very big example of this.
Right. And that's why I think it's so upsetting. Sydney, the sister from Malignant, is like our main character's adopted sister who is very cute. She's just like an actress. She loves her life and she's just trying to help. And we see her get killed.
Yeah.
Right? We see. And it ends up being a mental manipulation from the main character, but it's so upsetting.
Yeah, she ends up being okay, but you don't know that.
Exactly. Like it truly bummed me out to see that sister get killed, and nothing made me more happy than when she came back.
Yeah. Versus, I gotta say, if we had seen the dog die, yeah, it would have been a completely different thing. But the dog is in peril at one point, but makes it out okay because his owner, is it Naru? Nari? No. I'm getting the names confused.
I think her name is the main character from Prey.
Yes, the main character from Prey. She makes sure that her dog is okay.
And I think that is the difference, right?
Yeah.
To see something happen and then to feel those feelings and then to have it come back the other way, like, it made me realize how traumatic it would be. And you're exactly mm-hmm. right. Had the dog been killed and we saw it, maybe things would have broken down differently.
I think, I agree.
Who knows?
That's why Sydney swept it.
Let's move on to our next category, best victim performance, specifically a character who dies in a movie.
So despite their best efforts, they don't make it out.
Doesn't work out for them. Our nominees are
Dina Manoff as Aunt Maggie in Child's Play.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the kid who gets an ice skate in his face from Halloween H2O.
Gong Yoo as Sekwoo from Train to Busan.
Millie Shapiro as Charlie Graham from Hereditary, the little girl who gets a head knocking.
Margot Kidder as Barb from Black Christmas.
And the winner is Margot Kidder as Barb. Incredible.
Damn, Barb. She does do a great
job. Obviously, Margot Kidder can't be here. She is dead.
Unfortunately.
Her character is dead. And now that I think of Margot Kidder is also dead. She's from the 70s. She's an actor from the 70s. What do you want? Nobody's invincible. This is also probably a good time to mention the Whispering Skullsies will not have an in memoriam segment, if only because so many people have died. I mean, if you think about just Final Destination alone, there was an entire plane full of people who died. We can't show everybody individually who's died over the year.
Yeah, we'd be here for the next 2 weeks at least if we started listing them out.
So what we want you to do is just pour one out from your drink onto the floor
for old for those Barb lost and everyone else.
And think specifically about who your saddest has died. Like we said, Margot Kidder as Barb is the best performance of a character who died, but anybody who really bummed you out when they got offed.
Truly everyone on this list.
Keep them alive in your heart. Keep them alive in your heart.
All right, our next category is Best Animated Movie, which looks like we only got two here. We've only seen two animated movies this year.
The nominees are A Nightmare Before Christmas
and Perfect Blue. And the winner is Perfect Blue! And here to accept the award for Perfect Blue is Mima. Hey, Mima.
And real quick, Mima, before you start, I just want to say, like, I don't want you to think that this award means any less because there are only two nominees. It's still an achievement to win a Whispering Skullsy, don't you think, Roxy?
Yeah, truly. I mean, I feel like even if we had five movies up here, Perfect Blue would still win. So I'm very confident
Perfect
about
Blue's
that.
Perfect Blue is great, right?
What did you say? I'm a Japanese! What? What? Nazis, stop!
Yeah, no, we did not think to hire a translator.
You know, to be fair, we wouldn't have been able to get a translator anyway. Everyone who speaks Japanese down the scary basement is either a Ringu or a Ju-on, the Grudge, or, you know, whatever kind of ghoul. And I wouldn't want to, like, condemn a translator from outside to come and do this job.
Roxy, we watched Perfect Blue a while ago, and it is an anime movie, and I liked it, which is the greatest compliment I can give an anime movie.
This is true. Mikey is a famous anime hater.
Yeah, I struggle. I struggle with anime,
I'm very glad that I was able to find something for you to be able to appreciate in one way or another. So, yay.
Yeah, you did it. It was very scary. A story following a pop star who wants to become an actress and the mental deterioration that comes from that sort of career shift, and specifically through the entertainment industry lens.
Yeah.
What a disaster that industry is.
Truly.
Mm. You ready for our next category?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. The next category is the most justified killer. This award is for a killer who's not that evil. I mean, obviously it's evil to kill. Let's not beat around the bush, right? It's evil to kill people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got a reason. Sometimes it's fair.
Sometimes we have a lot of really stupid main characters who kind of do something shitty and are, I don't want to say asking for it, but sometimes they are. They're like, hey, let me do this dumb, shitty thing and prove to everybody else that I'm cool. And then their hubris gets them and they're hoisted by their own petard. You love to see it.
I love a petard.
So the nominees are the Leprechaun from the movie Leprechaun, because he only kills you if you steal his gold.
Krampus from the movie Krampus, because he only kills you if you write a letter about how much you hate your family and Christmas and want them to die. And then he just gives you what you want.
Hannibal Lecter from the movie The Silence of the Lambs. He only kills rude or shitty people, mostly.
Megan from the movie Megan, because she's just looking out for her little buddy. She's got a little girl who she's guarding. That's all. That's reasonable.
Truly. And our final nominee is Candyman from the movie Candyman. Because, you know, he only comes when you call him. And he's an urban legend, you know. He is what people make him to be.
And also, he got a tough break.
He was truly
murdered.
He was in love with a white woman, and then
was in love with a white woman.
Lynched quite horribly, but then came back for revenge on all those fucking guys. So
sure,
he got some revenge on people who deserved it. I'd say
they deserve it. All right, our winner is the Leprechaun from the movie The Leprechaun.
Oh, thank you, thank you. That's right, I'm here to accept this award today. Most justified killer. Huh, you know, I'm glad I got justified, because I did kill some kids, alright? But they stole me gold! I think I had a good reason. And, I see some glares in the audience right now. Well, I was justified. Award proves it. Alright, they stole me gold, I killed a couple kids, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Nobody should be mad at me. You guys can't be mad about this, okay? I got, you know what, award's my shield. The award is my shield. Take it up with the committee if you got a problem with me killing a couple kids. Alright? Alright, well, thank you guys for this. Here's me gold. Where'd it go?
I'd say that's a pretty solid one. He really only comes after you if you steal his gold. So it's your own greed that gets you killed, which it's his. He owns it, you know?
It puts the Leprechaun above everybody else for me, because that is the only kill besides me. Listen, Jason kills a lot of teenagers, right? And they are committing the sin of lust. So that is technically a seven deadly sin. But greed is also a seven deadly sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something you are doing. So when you commit a seven deadly sin, you should be murdered. That's the morality tale that horror movies are doing for us. Don't steal somebody else's gold. Lust is actually a very bad sin, I'm now realizing.
And, you know, some folks do get caught in the crossfire. Like, maybe they touch the gold one time and he pogo sticks them to death. But, you know, that's okay. We can overlook that.
Well, don't buy stealing things. Don't buy stolen items is what I'm trying to say. This movie specifically is a morality tale for pawn shop owners.
Truly. Let's aspire to never be like the pawn shop owner who got pogo stick to death in the movie Leprechaun.
All right. Our next category, best found footage horror movie. This is a movie shot and handheld, usually. It's put together like a documentary and tries to trick you into thinking it's real. And sometimes, especially here in the scary basement, it is real.
Yes, to be clear, all of these things actually exist down here. Unfortunately for us. all right, so the nominees for best found footage are Wreck,
The Blair Witch Project,
Butterfly Kisses,
and Paranormal Activity.
Real quick before we read the winner, Mikey, can you do your rendition of the Butterfly Kisses song that we get from the episode?
Yes, this will be our musical performance.
Just a little line.
I remember butterfly kisses and a bedtime prayer. Little white flowers all up in her hair.
Wow. Ooh. Mikey, I see what's his face from the movie Butterfly Kisses. He's got those glow stick batons. He's doing a cheer.
Yeah, Peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom, yeah.
He's here. He's up. He's standing. All right.
That's a little extra for you, Peeping Tom.
Uh-oh. He is rubbing himself all up on the girl from Ringu. This is uncomfortable. Security, can we get Peeping Tom out of here?
It's more for his safety than anything else. She's gonna fucking kill that guy. Peeping Tom.
Yeah. We gotta get.
Okay. Well, regardless of that, your performance was still a delight, Mikey.
Thank you.
All right. Who won the category?
And our winner is Wreck.
Wreck!
The zombie movie that was shot in a single apartment building. That's a great film. Here to accept the award for Wreck is the camcorder that recorded everything.
Oh.
It's just sitting there.
No, we even made a chair for it. It's just, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a character in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably got some sort of possessed evilness going on with it. It's got sentience. Here, I'll step down and just place it next to it, I guess. Here you go. Congrats.
Roxy, what about Wreck did you love so much over all of our other found footage movies?
Well, I gotta say, it is a very succinct length. It feels like no time is wasted in this movie. We've got the setup and then, like, as the rising action and everything goes to shit, you're just moved on from one thing to another. A lot of, like, single takes that are, like, very well done. I remember when we talked about it, there was some details about how, like, a lot of the actors would improv certain scenes and everything, and it doesn't feel that way. It feels, like, very naturalistic the way they all talk to each other and stuff. And it's just
that's
very well shot. Yeah, I love it. It's very good. It would definitely be my pick, so.
So this whole movie takes place in a single apartment building, right? It's a news crew who goes to this building and they're recording what they think is just like a day in the life of like the fire department or whatever.
Yeah, it's just the fire department too. It's not even like, you know, police or anything.
Yeah. And so this zombie outbreak happens and we're seeing like the police put a big quarantine tent on. They're like, if you step out, we're going to shoot you. Like, it's very scary, like, to feel like you're on the inside and you've just been caught in the crossfire of this zombie apocalypse. To communicate that you've been, like, that you haven't been killed yet is always something very scary to me. Like, the idea that, like, you are both scared of the monster and you have to prove that you are not the monster yourself is, like, an extra level of just survival. Very scary.
Yeah, and also just the fact that they are willing to sacrifice you, the few, for, like, the many, which is the rest of the city. You are in the middle of this populated city where you should be able to get any help you need, and they've just decided to abandon you to your fate.
This movie is like, the trolley problem, but you're on the tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the one person on the track.
And also, you could untie some of these people who don't need to be on the trolley, who are not infected, but they don't care about that. They really don't. All right, and the next category is best bad effects that we love. So what is an effect in a movie that might be a little goofy, might be a little silly, but we're endeared towards it, or maybe it just is very good. Who knows?
Yeah. The nominees are Chucky being played by a man in a suit running around giant furniture from Child's Play 1.
What a classic. Heads exploding from lasers from Chopping Mall. Truly the best papier-mâché heads you could ever see in a horror movie.
A torrent of blood coming up from Johnny Depp's bed in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
What a geyser that was. The leprechaun's makeup in The Leprechaun. Yeah, he might have overdone it a little bit. But we love him for it.
Yeah, why did the leprechaun have to be wrinkly, now that I'm thinking about it? And finally, the aliens CGI from the end of Signs, from the movie Signs.
Oh, yeah, truly a product of its time.
Yeah, that is a PlayStation 2 era alien.
And the winner is a torrent of blood coming up from Johnny Depp's bed in A Nightmare on Elm Street. Here to accept it is a torrent of blood? Ugh. Okay, I'm going to step over here. You can get the... Ugh. Congratulations to the Torn of Blood.
I'm proud of you. Roxy, I love the Torn of Blood coming up from Johnny Depp's bed because it is so excessive. It goes on for a long time.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And it's not just like a squirt. It is not just...
It's a geyser.
Even a human's worth of blood. It is a fat stream. It's a geyser. Exactly right.
But also, like, Johnny Depp gets absorbed, like, into the bed. He gets, like, sucked in. So then, like, something happened to him in there that then made the blood happen. So he got, like, all crunched up. Is that the implication? Who knows?
Well, even then, like, imagine if you put a human being in a blender. It wouldn't be as pure red as this blood that we get in Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
And just, because like, liquid. No chunks.
There's skin and teeth and everything. Like, there's multiple colors. Like, it would be... Maybe like a dull pink would be my guess.
Mm,
but
more chunky.
We get pure blood. We get like a blood bank has spilled. So it almost makes me think that there's like more blood stored under his bed. Or this is just like a collection of everybody's blood who's died so far from the movie. Maybe Freddy has to do some sort of purging to get all... He's storing all the blood and then he's just like... Like in an RPG when you have like... 200,000 gray stones and you go to the merchant and just click select all, sell, and you get, you know, 5 gold.
And torn of blood.
Them, but it's just like, all of the blood is gone.
I got another angle,
dumped
Mikey.
It out of his inventory.
How do you feel about this? So I think it's the dad who walks in to see this after Johnny Depp has been absorbed. He sees the blood. Do you think maybe... Yeah. In that moment, Freddy is drawing upon the fears of the father, and the father is terrified of blood. So he's like, you know what would freak out this guy? Geyser of blood!
I almost think if that were the case, it would almost be a moment of kindness from Freddy, because
kindness.
Like that much blood, it would be scary to see it first, but then you'd get over it. It's like immersion therapy, right?
Maybe.
That guy is not scared of blood by the end of it, right? If that guy is walking down the street and he sees somebody fall over the curb and like skin their knee and bleed, like maybe it would have freaked him out before, but now he's like, well, at least it's not a geyser.
You sure it wouldn't, like, go in the opposite direction where, like, he associates it with his son dying? So now it's even worse.
No, I think it's probably he's like, well, at least it's not that much.
Well, congrats once again to the Torn of Blood. Mikey, you got our next category?
I do. Our next category is Best Killer. This is just
a classic.
Somebody who's good at their job, knows what they're doing, and loves doing it. Our nominees are...
The Event Horizon Hellship from Event Horizon. It uses your own fears and desires against you, and also has a pretty big kill count.
Candyman, because he continues to evolve with the urban legends, and thus, he's always going to be relevant. He'll be able to keep killing. After all, you cannot kill the concept of an urban legend.
Number 3, the Wishmaster from Wishmaster. Because even though he has his... quote-unquote rules, he can bend them to do whatever and end up killing people in his own special way. He can also never die, only be trapped, so he has a potential to keep killing till the end of time. Also, when he gets all the wishes, he can take over the world with the other evil Wishmaster djinns, multiplying their death count by the entire population of the planet, I assume.
The Thing is our next nominee. Apparently, if The Thing gets out into the world, it kills everybody instantly. So, a tremendous amount of potential kills people and becomes them. So every kill, it adds to its advantage. A great killer.
Truly. And number five, we got Chucky, because nobody suspects the murder doll unless he starts to get sloppy. So if Chucky played it cool, he can keep killing till the end of time and has continued to do so into his TV series. I can only imagine. I need to watch it.
I will say one other thing. I did just happen to listen to an interview with Brad Dourif recently.
Oh, really?
Brad Dourif? I don't know how to say his name. Where he was talking about, like, he's like, I don't love Chucky because he kills. I love Chucky because he loves killing. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves his work.
He
Nobody
relishes
revels
it.
In killing quite like Chucky. He kills so many people he doesn't need to kill. God bless Chucky.
He's having a great time. After he makes his peace with his body, I guess, right? He's a little hung up on that.
Our winner is Candyman.
Candyman.
An upset. An upset if there ever was one. Here to accept the award, obviously, is the Candyman.
I mean, he's going to continue changing with the times. You got to appreciate that.
Best overall killer. I do appreciate this award. And you know that to be true, as my haunted presence in any one specific location is never guaranteed. You call me. And therefore getting around is hard for me. So if anyone in the audience lives off of Beverly in Vermont, Wilshire in Vermont, really anywhere off Vermont, could I get a ride home? And by get a ride home, I do mean say my name 5 times when you get back to your apartment, and I can just hop on the red line from there. Thank you.
And Roxy, yeah, I would say Candyman is a pretty good killer. He does have interesting ways to kill people. He's got a mythical superpower. He's also, like we mentioned, he is justified in what he's doing.
Yeah.
A great killer.
And I think also just like with the concept of how he came to be, he has limitless potential to be whatever he needs mm-hmm. to be to continue killing. If one thing gets old and stale, he can switch to another thing.
I love a Candyman.
Yeah, who doesn't? I wouldn't love to become his victim, but I would be thinking about it.
You know what?
Before I said no, because he is that suave.
Roxy, if you had to get killed by one of our best killer nominees, who would you pick? I'm just glancing quick. Event Horizon would be horrible. I don't want to get killed by Event Horizon. You got to cut out your own eyes. I like my eyes.
Yeah, horrible hellship using your fears against you.
They're brought out by a lot of shirts that I wear. I think my eyes are lovely. I would be very sad to stitch them closed.
So I think Wishmaster would be fun just because I love Andrew Devoff and the way he says wishes and says any of his lines. And it would be kind of fun to like spar with him to not say anything that had to do with making a wish. You'd have to see how long you could go, though. He's an endless being who could eventually wear you down, I'm sure. But you might have a little bit of fun with psychological warfare before he gets you.
No, it's been a minute since we've watched Candyman, but Virginia Madsen, the main character from Candyman, she's killed by Candyman and becomes part of the legend, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. But there's plenty of people who get, like, completely gored up and fucked up from Candyman before she becomes part of the legend. Especially because he drove her insane and made her, like, kill other people. Or at least there was the perception or persecution that she had killed other people. And then nobody believed her that it was going on. And she was like, he's right here
That's true.
That was tough. That's like gaslighting hell on top of being murdered.
All right. Then the actual answer is Chucky.
You go for Chucky. I mean, like, you love a good Chucky anyway. It's
like you want to see LeBron James play before he retires, right? You want to get killed by Chucky. He's the best.
Yeah. All right. Our next category is Best Doll. And best can mean anything you want it to be, I think. So the nominees are
the clown puppet doll from Poltergeist.
Megan from Megan.
Annabelle from Annabelle.
Chucky from Child's Play.
Chucky from Child's Play 2.
And Chucky from Child's Play 3. And the winner is Chucky from Child's Play 2, specifically. All right, Chucky, congrats.
Oh, God. You like me. You really like me. I didn't think I was going to get so emotional. I just want to thank my agents. They said I was done after the first Child's Play, and then they stuck with me through Child's Play 2, and Child's Play 3, half of this list. But you like me. Annabelle, of course, my sweet real-life wife. I love you. Thriegan, it's been great to get to know you these past couple months, and it's all so much. I want to thank God. I love God. And it's just the clown puppet from Poltergeist. I would be... That one I don't like. That one I actually don't like. And of course to my dream team, my agent, Rick Kurtzman, Alan Wertheimer, Heidi Schaefer, Sean James, Grace Ann, Jane Ross. I love you. Mwah. Goodbye.
All right, Chucky. There he goes. What a performance. Child's Play 2 specifically.
Yeah, why do you think my Child's Play 2 won out of all of them?
Child's Play 3 gets a little unclear what Chucky wants. Mm-hmm. He's kind of just bopping around.
Yeah.
And Child's Play 1, we don't get enough Chucky.
It is setting it up. It's true. Because a lot of it is just like is it actually happening or not?
Right. It feels like there's a good hour of that first movie before we get to see the doll come to life. And that's always my memory of watching the Chucky movies on USA growing up. It's just like, I kind of hate the beginning until the Chucky part comes. And then mm-hmm. when the Chucky part comes, baby, we're in it. Child's Play 2, that is all Chucky all the time, baby. He is breaking shit. He's having little monologues like, I'm turning human again. Very funny. Child's Play 2 is, I think, Chucky's tour de force.
The way it starts with his assembly also is pretty wild. Or reassembly, I guess.
Yeah. It is cool to see, like, you don't get... I'm trying to think about, like, in the movie Titanic, you don't get to see into a woman's womb as a baby is born that would grow into Leonardo DiCaprio's character from Titanic, right? It is cool to see from the very beginning the birth of a character.
Well, it's like the rebirth because they... Right. It's also so strange, too, because it's like they're trying to get ahead of this terrible PR that, like, this kid is saying that a doll killed people and drove him and his mother insane. And they're like, you know what we would do to get ahead of this? We just remake the doll and show it to the public. What are you going to do? How does that show you? You've built it from the ground up also. So the thing that he said was cursed, you're not proving it's not cursed because you have a new thing.
Right.
It's a totally different thing.
Also, it's not like the public is like, hey, let's see that doll's serial number, because we know that the cursed doll's serial number.
Yeah. Also, giving any credence to it means there could be some reality to it, because that's such an absurd claim. You just ignore it if you really didn't want to give it fan the flames. It's the Streisand effect, man. They Streisand affected Chucky into the existence for the second movie.
All right. Our next category is what, Roxy?
Wait, Mikey, did you put this in here? I didn't put this in here. It says...
Oh, I didn't.
Best.
I didn't put this in either.
Demon robot?
Huh. And the nominees are just the demon bot from Scary Basement.
And the winner is... I mean, it's the demon bot. There's no other nominees. Who could it possibly be other than the demon bot?
It's the demon bot. Yeah. All right. Cool. Hey, here to accept is obviously the demon bot. I guess we're not in charge anymore. Demon bot, God bless. What do you got to say?
Thank you very much for this award. I am humbled to be named the Best Demon Robot Butler of the Year. My story began so long ago when my creator built this robot body specifically to trap a demon inside and... Don't you play me off. This is my scary basement. How dare you subject me to this indignity? You let that little runt doll go on forever. Why can't I? Get your hands off me, Freddy. I shall rain terror upon you all for 1,000 generations if you do not cease this.
All right, let's just move on. Our next category is Best Survivor Performance. This is the best performance from an actor who lives through a movie. And our nominees are...
Sarah from The Descent. She's the ultimate survivor, fighting hordes of creatures and her deceptive friend.
Erin from You're Next. She's a survivalist and kicks ass, and she makes it out alive.
Number three is Ripley from Alien. She is resourceful and makes hard choices, and saves a cat at the end. Who doesn't like that?
That's very cute. Allison Williams from Megan. She learns how to become a parent to a little girl. She uses her brains and robotic abilities to defeat her creation, Megan.
Very impressive. And MacReady from The Thing, who devises the test and is able to outlast everybody else. And last we see, he's still alive. So, you know, he did pretty good. He made it to the end of his movie.
And the winner is Aaron from Your Next.
Wow. No, best survival performance. Yeah. This is great. Wonderful. Yeah. No, it's just, no, I'm excited. I'm grateful. It's just, you know, I grew up on a survivalist compound. You know, it's no big secret. You know, maybe my boyfriend, Crispin, didn't know, but that's because he never asked me any goddamn questions. Like, he just went on and on about something called video game speed runs, whatever the fuck that is. But I don't see survivalism as, like, my passion, all right? I don't want to be known as the surprise survivalist. You know, it's not a hidden talent. I kind of think my hidden talent is baking, all right? You know, I'm a really good home baker, and I don't like to brag about it much, but I make cookies and pies and chocolate crackles and meanish tarts and lamingtons. I make a really mean lamington. In fact, I brought some for the audience here. They're kind of my own spin. They're getting passed out. It is a chocolate glaze cake that's dipped into strawberry jelly.
Looks like a frying pan and some eggs to me.
You shut up, Freddy Cougar. You suck. Whatever. Peace out, fuckers.
Congrats, Aaron. So
proud of Aaron. Roxy, Your Next was an early scary basement movie that I didn't know anything about. It's about, we see this family having a dinner. They invite their son's new girlfriend, and then killers start. They've got animal masks, they're very scary, and Aaron, surprise, surprise, happens to be a survivalist.
Yeah, that's a very fun twist, because, like, she's obviously very resourceful and starts reacting, like, instantly to not only protect herself, but other people. And then, yeah, when one of them straight up asks, like, how are you so good at this? She's like, oh, yeah, my dad trained us to be survivalists because he was kind of, like, crazy with a bunker, thinking we need to be prepared for the end of the world. And turns out it trained her perfectly to react to mass killers trying to kill her and the people around her.
No, it is very much a movie where, like, an unusual thing happens in that animal mass killers are here at the dinner. And another unusual thing happens in that she's a secret survivalist. But it's like, it works. It feels right. It feels right that she has this weird little skill. Like,
well, also, it's like she's not, she's good at her job. Like, she's good at maneuvering in these situations, but she never feels like inhuman or like what she's doing was written for convenience and not something an actual person could do. Like, it feels very grounded in that way, which I think is what kind of elevates her performance, especially because, like, the killers she's dealing with are other humans too. So
great movie.
All right, and that was the last of the regular categories. So the next two we got are our big finales. So we did something a little different here. Well, different, there's nothing to compare it to. So I guess I can't say we did anything different. We did something specific.
This whole award show is different because no other award show has Michael Myers sitting next awkwardly to his ex, Jason Voorhees, in the audience.
Wait a minute, Mikey, you got the scoop on that? They were dating at one point?
It's an unspoken secret in the scary basement.
Oh, damn. Okay, I can't believe I never picked up on that. Man, I usually think I'm pretty good at that. So we are going to do a best picture category for both you and me, Mikey, right? So we're each going to be able to pick. All right.
Yes.
So first up, we got best picture, Mikey division. So these are ones that Mikey picked.
Mm-hmm.
The nominees are
Child's Play 2.
Halloween 2018.
You hated reading that.
I was more surprised. I didn't read it on your list until just now.
The Witch.
Hereditary.
And Let the Right One In. And the winner is, I get to just pick. We don't even have to open this envelope.
Yeah, here, I'll just give it to you, Mikey. You can just
I'm going
to
eat it.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's yours to do with as you wish, I guess, so sure.
The winner is Let the Right One In. An all-time favorite movie of mine.
I think it's your only 5 out of 5, right? In the Scary Basement?
Yep, I gave it 5 thumbs up.
Yep.
Listen,
that tracks.
This movie is very sweet. It's very scary and it's very like moving. I was like so excited and in love with these two little characters who are having a little best friendship. And then like it can read manipulative. Like it, there's a lot of information that is just presented in like this matter of fact way that lets like the thing I love about horror movies is imagination, both on the part of the creators and on the part of the audience. So this movie is like an interesting little twist on vampires, but the way it presents information, for me at least, like inspired my imagination, made me think of like all these different angles. Like the fact that it's started out and certainly seems to be from the original novel, a trans allegory is very interesting. The fact that I saw something different and it like being this kind of commentary on little kids like growing into puberty is very interesting. Like this movie just like inspired a lot of thoughts in me and I love it. So much.
Well, good. I'm glad because I know this was a very special movie to you, Mikey. So I think that it's the right pick. It's the right one, if you might even say.
Obviously, we would love to have Oscar and Ellie here to accept the award, but they cannot be here. They are on a train running from the law after having murdered a number of innocent men.
Were they innocent, though? We'll never know unless they make a sequel.
All right, our next and final award is Best Picture in the Roxy Division. These are Roxy's favorite movies we watched throughout season one of Scary Basement.
And the nominees are Alien,
The Thing,
Megan, or Mithrigan, whichever you prefer to say.
When I tip my fedora, I say Mithrigan.
Perfect.
Annihilation.
And The Descent.
Roxy, I'll just hand you the envelope because you get to decide who the winner is.
This is actually really hard. I waffled back and forth right up until basically the magical letter writer picked the movie and put it in the envelope for us.
I remember because even before we went on stage tonight to host the Whispering Skullsies, you were kind of waffling and I felt like the anxiety was maybe getting to you a little bit. Like you were being very cruel to the makeup assistant, the robot from Chopping Mall.
Oh, no. Well, it did murder many people.
I just felt like you were very short with them. And I think it was probably because you were trying to pick what your favorite movie would be.
Truly, yes. My anxiety was pretty high for this pick, I gotta say. So at the risk of alienating, I didn't choose that word on purpose, but I said it, my other faves on this list, I chose Alien as the winner for this category.
Oh, incredible. What is it that finally pushed it over the edge for you?
Man, I don't know. It was between, for me, it was between Alien and The Thing. They both have a lot of similar things going on with kind of like paranoia and deception and trying to figure out like who you can trust in a group. But I think with Ripley, for sure, making it out, saving the cat, and a lot of, like, the production design and everything. I think, similarly, it kind of activates my imagination, too, having these sci-fi horror movies that are in space to think about, like, what could be out there. Even though, again, they both deal with alien horrifying constructs.
They are both aliens, aren't they?
Yeah. But I just love Ripley herself as well, and, like, she's a great heroine.
Mm-hmm.
And the slow burn of the first Alien kind of figuring things out, if you can completely divorce it, especially from any of the movies that come after it, to just kind of like think about how that was when it came out as it was. Just very fun. Very great. And luckily, after I'm singing all her accolades, here we have to accept the award is Ripley herself. Wait, Mikey.
Ripley, give it up.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait. No, that's not Ripley. It's the alien.
It's the alien.
Mikey, quick, get into a locker!
It's called a xenomorph!
Mikey!
I always forget! Oh god, Alien! Oh, he's killing everybody in the audience! Oh no, just slashing through Rosemary's Baby and the Troll Hunter and that guy from Drag Me to Hell! Oh, they're all being killed! Oh,
wait,
no.
The liquor though! The liquor jumped on his back! He's fighting back! They're having a fight! It's an all-out brawl!
Oh god, it's killing! Alien, Roxy, Alien's here! We gotta get it! Get into the locker, quick!
I'm in the locker. I'm waiting for you. Come on. So, that's going to do it for the Whispering Skullsies.
Thank you so much. I'm so scared of the aliens right now. Thank you for listening to Scary Basement Season 1. Roxy, we got to do something.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I'm on Twitter at Red Mage Roxy, and also on Twitch as Red Mage Roxy. Come hang out. Say hello. Also, make sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes or, you know, wherever you're listening to podcasts.
Also, leave us a review. You know that helps us out. Another way you can show your support is by checking out our Patreon.
for our podcast network, Super NPC Radio. Sign up at patreon.com/supernpcradio, and you can get bonus episodes of Scary Basement, where we cover horror video games in a series called Press X to Scream, as well as years and years of content from the rest of the video game loving folks over at Super NPC Radio.
Don't forget to share and scare this podcast with your friends. As always, do not sign any contracts offered to you by demon robots.
See you on August 29th, 2023, for the return of Scary Basement, when Season 2 begins. Oh, I hope we make it.
That's it. I'm calling my agent. Hello, Casey? This is DemonBot. Your client DemonBot. Yes, the demon robot butler who forces you to get him roles or else he'll steal your soul and claim your body as his own. You will not believe what just happened to me at the Whispering Skullsies Awards. You saw the broadcast? Stop that. Stop laughing. That's it, you're fired.